You have made it all the way through. Congratulations to all of you to Revelation, dos, dos. And so, is that how you say it? Where's Neely? Is she still here? So you've made it all the way through. Last week we talked about there being a new heaven and a new earth that came down. And if you remember the Apostle John, he saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven like a bride, you know, just dressed beautifully for her husband. And he heard a voice from the throne saying, "Hey, this is God's dwelling place now among people, or his, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they will be a people, and he will be his God, and it's going to be right there." And it says that during that time, he's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more future sorrow, no more future crying. All the pain will be passed away. And then he says what we sang today. He said, "I behold, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new." And we talked about that. He starts that even now, that process. And he said he's the Alpha, the Omega, from creation to all the way through to this new heavenly Jerusalem, this new earth, this new heaven and this new earth. And to those who are overcome will inherit the kingdom. And they're going to be my kids. And remember how we overcome Satan? It's not by our own might or power, but it's by trusting in Jesus. That's right. Do you notice his heel? It's his heel that steps on the serpent's head, right? It's his power, his strength, right? It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, right? It is by his power. Ephesians 6 tells us that, and we talked about that. And it says, but the ones who are cowardly, unbelieving, it goes into all that. Theirs is the second death. They're going to be thrown in the lake of fiery sulfur. And then he saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And it was an amazing thing. And he's trying to describe it as best he can in human language. And he's like, and I saw these gates, and it was like jasper and crystal, and 12 gates and 12 angels with the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the 12 foundations, he saw the 12 apostles of the Lamb written. It shows ownership. The angel measured the whole thing, and he's trying to describe how beautiful it is. Again, when it says streets of gold, it's not really talking, I don't think, solid gold. He's trying, it's crystal clear, and it's like this. And I don't think when he's talking pearly gates, I don't think he's talking an actual pearl. Maybe he is. But I think he's just trying to describe this amazing beauty that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. And when we talked about it, there's going to be no more night, because the Lord's going to be there, and nothing impure is going to enter, and it's just going to be everything that's good and godly and true, all those whose names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's where we left off in Revelation 21. Now, we are talking about Revelation 22. So let's take 1 minute, and I feel like the Lord wants me to pray, so we're just going to trust him on that. And say, Lord, I want to thank you that we can be open to the leading of your Spirit, Lord God. I want to say thank you for your word that doesn't return void, that accomplishes the purpose you set it out to accomplish, Lord. I thank you even for folks willing to love and serve and be led. I thank you for even Pastor Gary just flowing with the worship service, with that word and prayer in the middle, or people praising out and clapping and thanking you, Lord, worshiping you in prayer and praise, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. I ask that you would bless the time of the reading and the teaching of your word, Lord, by the unction of your Holy Spirit. Open our ears, our eyes, Lord. Loosen my tongue, my mind, exactly. Help me to say only those things you'd have me say, and nothing that you wouldn't have me say, Lord God. Only those things that you would, in Jesus' name, Lord God. And bless today's teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It starts off, if you would read with me, I always have your Bibles open. It says in verse 1 of Revelation 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And that starts off with a pretty powerful image as we read that. And this new earth, this new heaven, and this holy city, this new heavenly Jerusalem that's come down. And it's an amazing, powerful thing The angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of the Lamb of God. Now, I don't know exactly. I wasn't John. I'm not seeing this for myself. But he knows it enough to say it's like a river. It's probably, you know, what it is exactly, I'm not exactly sure. But he knows, you'll know it when you see it. When you get there, if you believe, put your faith and trust in him, you're going to see it too. And it's like a river, he says. And it says that angel is probably the same angel that showed John the heavenly Jerusalem that we read about last week in Revelation 21, verses 9 through 10. It was the same angel that brought out the bowls of judgment. And he's showing John. Now the inside, I guess, or this heavenly Jerusalem up close. In all of its beauty and splendor. And it says the water of life. And what is that? Is the water. Yeah. It's the water that God promised to all the thirsty believers back in Revelation 21:6. We talked about that last week. And it says it's flowing like a river. And its source of that living water, or whatever that is, by his Holy Spirit. It's being flowing from the direct source of God himself, and it proceeds from the throne continually. And I think that's really such a beautiful thing. A similar river, perhaps it was a preview we saw, flow from the millennial temple. You can read about that for yourself in Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 12. It's one of my favorite verses. Whenever I do a teaching on John chapter 7, on living water, I always use that verse and talk about it. It's really beautiful. But that river doesn't reach everywhere during the millennial kingdom, so sin remains in that millennial kingdom. But now, in this new heaven and new earth, there is no more sin, and life abounds in all parts of the new heaven and the new earth. And it says it's clear as crystal. And again, he's trying to describe it. I think this is speaking maybe visually, but also I think he's speaking of the absolute purity of this river, of the water of life that's flowing out to everyone to drink and to come to drink freely from the river of the water of life and the water of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's so beautiful. If you remember last week in John 7, we talked about this verse, and it says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me," Jesus said, "and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." But what is this river of living water exactly? And the Bible says, I didn't show you this next verse, which I'm going to show you right now, because the next verse says, "By this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." And so it also says, what does he mean by rivers of living water? Why not just a cup of it? Why rivers? And honestly, this is important. If you go to Israel, you're going to get to see this, but obviously you can see it in pictures and you probably know it's very dry. It's the only reason it's incredibly prosperous because they have a lot of desalinization plants, but water to the Jewish person in Israel would mean life. It would mean abundance. It would mean blessing. It would mean newness. It would mean everything like that. And so, and there's basically two types of water that they had. And one is like a river or a wadi, and it would flow. In other words, from the source. And they would understand that to be continually clean, refreshed from the source. Do you know what I'm saying? Continually moving, free, living, fresh, continual freshness. And then they would understand the other to be cistern water. And that would be like a pit that you dig out of the dirt. Okay? And that would be kind of stagnant, kind of dead, kind of dirty. Insects, animals would drink from it. They go in, they die and decay in it. It was really kind of, they would consider dirty water, right? Contaminated, dead. So Even in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel 47:9 says this, it says when it talks about in the millennial kingdom, that water flowing out, it says, I only grabbed one verse because it's so much, those 12 verses, but it says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever that river flows because it's fresh, it's bringing life. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So that it says, wherever the river flows, everything will live. Now, I want you to contrast that, right? Hold on one second. Okay. I think, first let me say, it's the same thing when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Listen, we never quite arrive as a Christian. How long have you been walking with the Lord? Can I throw it at the... Okay, about 25 years. So you're 26 now? 27?
Yeah, I'm 1 year old.
So it doesn't matter how long, do you still need and rely on Jesus? Do you still call out to him? Do you still just say, God, I need you today, like every minute, every hour sometimes?
Absolutely.
You see, in order to have the Lord, you don't just get the Lord and then you sit and become a pew potato. He needs to be flowing in you continually so that he can flow out. A rip from the source of the Lord. Does that make sense? Do you hear what I'm saying? And it needs to be a continuing flow. That's why sometimes we get stagnant and we try in our lives, and sometimes even in our churches, we build cisterns that try to hold the water. You know what I'm saying? And we can hold out for a little while on those cisterns that we dig for ourselves, but it's not good. Listen, this is what the Bible says. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people, speaking, this is the Lord speaking, my people have committed two sins. These are important. First, it says, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And again, that's the river, that's the flow, that's the fresh. Got it? They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns. Containers, whether it be a hole in the ground or a jar like that, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I watch that in so many churches today. I got to be careful. Lord's holding me back from saying certain things. So I will just simply say that in any church, it could even be this one or in any pastor, sometimes God can put in place rules and regulations and programs. They're not necessarily bad things, okay? However, what I found is that most people, either in their personal lives or in their churches, they tend to try to rely on the rules and the program listen, if Pastor Gary, I don't even need to ask him, I know that he felt led by the Holy Spirit to come up in the middle of worship and to pray. There's no question in my mind. I'm not thinking, whoa, that breaks the rules. I say, oh, hallelujah. Stan, a few weeks ago, just started praising the Lord openly in prayer when he was doing the drums. What is he doing? He's the drummer. What are you just praising the Lord? You know what? I wasn't like that. I'm saying, hallelujah, praise God. He felt led of the Holy Spirit to do that. That's a good thing. Sometimes we can get so rigid, you know. We have to flow, right, with the river. Does that make sense, everybody? So don't become, again, I'm not wanting to say that every rule is bad or every program is bad. I don't want to say that either. But I think we have to be open and honest and say, a lot of people, a lot of churches rely on this program. And God is saying, hey, you've dug for yourself programs and things and made for yourself, and that doesn't hold the living water that I want. Does that make sense, everybody? Am I saying that right in a way that everybody understands? Revelation continues chapter 22, verse 2. He says, and it kind of has a weird break between 1 and 2. There's a verse break there in the middle of a sentence. I don't know. Whoever did that. Anyway, I don't know if that was led by the Holy Spirit. But anyway, it says, down the middle of the great street of the city. And he says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And it's a beautiful thing. And the tree of life. Now, what does that mean? Now, there's big debates, and I don't really know. So, you know, does that mean two trees, one on either side? Does it mean 12 trees, some Bible, you know, and they're wonderful Bible scholars? Or does it mean one tree in the middle with roots going out to both of the banks? It's kind of what I think, but because it says the tree of life, not the tree. But whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You're going to know when you see it. And it's like almost as two bookends. We're seeing this tree of life. If you remember back in Genesis, the tree of life, in Genesis chapter 3, they were forbidden to eat from the tree of life because after they sinned and ate from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? God said, okay, no more for you. We're kicking you out of the garden. And he said, you have no more access to the tree of life here. And almost like a bookend, we start off in Genesis with the curse, right? With the sin and Satan and sin and the curse. And then all the way to the end of Revelations, we have the full restoration of that. The tree of life is made available to us freely. And that is an amazing thing. It's like the blessing restored to us completely. Like it was in the beginning, and that fruit and healing, and what's that all about? Are we going to be eat in heaven? And I think in some way, yes. I don't know that we're going to need to, but yeah, it says that it's going to be bearing crops of fruit every month. So there's going to be some sort of time, and at least some sort of tracking of time in eternity. It says in some way, yes. So like Psalm 1, this tree never is going to fail to bear fruit. It's going to continually produce this fruit for all. And it's going to bring healing to all. And I thought about this word because it says healing. I'm like, well, why do we need healing then? I thought there's going to be no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. If there's no more death, then why do we need healing? Well, it says, and I thought about it. This is just what I thought. Okay, could be wrong. You could stone me later. But to me, there's no more death. Okay, and I don't know. Some people think when we get to heaven, we're going to forget everything. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But from the way I see it, when it says healing, the healing in Greek, the word is therapia. And it's honestly where we get our word therapy from. When a person tries to go to therapy, right, their hope to get therapy, therapia, is to get curing, healing, peace. That's what it means in Greek. So I want you to think of it this way. This therapia, this curing, healing, relief, peace, is flowing like a river. So imagine, if you will, God's healing your heart, God's peace is just continually flowing like a river out to you. Wherever it's, what a continually flowing for all. I think that is such an amazing, beautiful thing. That therapy is just like that peace. God's peace is continually just, oof, oof. What an amazing thing. And I don't know if that heals us from all the past thing or if that's a future thing and he's just continually giving us his peace, but it's going to be there. That therapy is going to continue just to go out. However that means, it's going to continue to flow out from the Lord and from the tree of life that's got those well-watered roots from the living water. Revelation 22, 3 and 4 goes on to say, and it says this, it says, no longer will there be any curse, because he's restoring everything. He makes all things new. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. And it says, and his servants will serve him. It goes on to say, it says, they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Now, when I see that first, no curse, since Genesis 3, mankind has suffered continually. How much pain have we suffered? How much, even just think of it, it's not a fun thing to think about, but if you've had someone die, right, that you know and love, you know it's excruciatingly painful. In fact, sometimes you don't even have words, do you? That's as a result of the curse from Genesis 3. Just one of the things. How many tears have been shed just by that? But in this new heaven and new earth, everything and everyone is being restored. So I am looking forward in this new earth, this new heaven. I've got some wonderful friends in the Lord that have gone to be with God. You know, my mom, I'm looking forward to seeing her again, restored. No more is she going to have that autoimmune disease. I'm going to be able to see my best friend Mike that died of thyroid cancer. I'm going to be able to see him in all the glory of the Lord. What an amazing, beautiful, reuniting thing. So all that pain, the wonderful thing is God's going to be able to renew you and to reconnect you. It's such an amazing thing. All that curse is going to be gone. And it says the servants will serve. Listen, there's no golf in heaven. There's no retirement in heaven. Now, I got to be careful how I say this. Because I know many people who retire and they actually do more work serving the Lord. But I've also known folks where, I almost want to say unfortunately, their biggest, you know, goal is to pick up some seashells. And there's nothing wrong with seashells. But God has put us here for a reason, right? And that reason doesn't end until he takes us home. So we're not going to just be sitting on clouds, you know, singing. We're not just going to be sitting on clouds playing a harp. How do you play a harp? Anyway, oh yeah, right. We're not going to be just, I don't think it's going to be like that. The Bible says, in fact, that we're going to be serving. His servants will serve him. Now, I don't have any idea what that equates to, but he's trying to teach us to serve even now. He's trying to teach you to serve. Your flesh is saying, I don't want to serve. Right? I just want to be served. Now, who do you think is in charge of, I just want to be served? Is that your flesh or is that the Holy Spirit? Who do you think is stirring in you, says, I want to serve? Who do you think? It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And he's trying to, listen, we're going to be serving even in heaven, and he's trying to prepare you even now. Listen, I love that you come in here, but if you're just coming here and sit, you're missing the whole point. You should be ministering to other people. You know who the minister is in this church? Huh? Right? People pointing at me? It's you. What? Okay, I'm a pastor. I have a role, right? So, but minister means servant. Jesus says the greatest among you is going to be the pastor. Did he say that? No, he did not. Greatest among you is going to be the deacon. Did he say that? Elder, the church, denomination? What did he say? The greatest among you will be the servant of all. Listen, you may come in here and you might not be a part of it. Think of the people in the children's ministry serving continually. Wow. Or at the school or you know, helping to get stuff together, cleaning after church, doing the tech stuff, doing all this whatever. So many things, the website, the Instagram, there's so many. Everybody's serving. But there might be people who just come in here and they just try to bless people. They just try to encourage them in the Lord. You are ministering Jesus. You are a servant of God. But that should be in all of our minds. I just don't want to come here to get stuff. I want to come to get, to serve, to share, to bless. Does that make sense? He's calling you. He's trying to train you now for future work. Right? Listen, the Bible says, and you can make this choice. I can't make it for you. You have to choose to make it. The Bible says this, and I would love, I didn't make the scripture picture, it's so stinking good, but I loved it so much, I can't put it on my scripture picture website, I don't think, but I it was so good, I got it.
Will you send it to us anyway?
let me think about that. But isn't it beautiful? Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? You choose to do that now. Listen, and the Bible says that, I would say, good leaders must become good servants. We live in a culture today where, I don't know, it's really weird. I don't like the way a lot of pastors' attitudes are, just to be honest. It's an entitled, I don't like it. I'm the pastor. I don't like it. I'm a rock star. I don't like it. Listen, okay, I'm dressed up today. This is for me. This is, okay. My son, when I came out, my youngest son Ezekiel goes, Dad, he goes, is there going to be a marriage today? I thought, no. Why would you ask that? He's like, well, you're dressed up. I'm like, it's just a vest over the T-shirt. That's really all it is. But the bottom line is, listen, good servants. You want to be a good leader? Really, you need to be a good minister. You need to just be a good servant. That's what Jesus did, right? And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift, some multiple gifts, from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to what? Serve others, right? If you're just coming here and sitting, you're going to become one miserable and maybe self-righteous religious person. You're here to serve, right? And serve one another. You maybe even do that outside the church, however you do it, but you're serving. Does that make sense? Okay. Listen, the Bible goes on to say this. It says, and we will see his face. And I think that means both physically, we're going to actually see him. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. We're going to see Father God, and physically and spiritually. And I think this has the idea of like a super close intimacy with God. When you see his face. I don't know if you remember in the Old Testament, I started thinking about this. Like, it says in Exodus 33:20, if you remember, he appeared to Moses in the cleft of a rock, and as a fiery burning bush or a cloud, or, you know, it says in Exodus 33, when he was talking to Moses, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see my face and live." That's God speaking. Wait a minute. Well, somebody might say, if you get really biblically knowledgeable, I remember one scripture verse in Exodus 33 that says, hey, I remember that it says that Moses spoke to God as a friend, face to face. What about that, Pastor? Well, if you read this passage in Exodus 33, you're going to see that what he means by that is intimately, closely, like a friend. You're going to actually see that it shows the Lord coming down in a cloud at the tabernacle, right? He came down in a cloud, because if you saw him in all his glory, let me tell you, you'd be toast as a person. So it says he came down as a cloud in the tabernacle at home where he dwells. And it says that, you know, he spoke to him in that way. So, but now we're going to see him face to face, the Bible says. And it says, it just speaks of intimacy, relationship, friendship. And it says his name will be on our foreheads. And that simply shows us that God's people are going to be identified forever and protected forever. That's you. I love that. Listen, these are beautiful things. Revelation 22:5 continues. And it says, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And if that's not enough, they will reign, speaking of us, forever and ever. Beautiful. Chris, would you mind getting that light for a second? Thank you. I want you to be able to see that. Okay? Now listen. When it says light, it says there'll be no need for light or warmth from the S-U-N, because we're going to get it directly from the S-O-N. If you remember, it says he's the light of the world, remember? And if you remember, night was banished in Revelation 21, 25. I love this verse in John chapter 12, 36. And I like this scripture picture. It says, I have come as a light, Jesus said, to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. He brings light wherever he goes, spiritually, physically, and he's going to be lighting it all up. And it says the light in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. For all eternity, Jesus is going to be lighting our way. And it also says, if that's not enough, we will reign, we, you, me, you, me. We're going to reign forever and ever. That blows me away. Listen, because of Jesus, not only are we God's children, but Romans 8:17 also says that because of Jesus, listen, we are co-heirs with Christ. I'm like, what, co-heirs with him? Yeah. And not only, but wait, there's more. With the Ginsu knife. No. It says, not only that, but listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:21 says that as his children, you and I will also not only be co-heirs, we're going to reign with Jesus. It says in 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, because if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. It goes on to say in Revelation 22:6, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And we already talked about faithful and true. We already talked about some of these things, so I'm going to just focus on the word inspires. The Lord who God who inspires the prophets, this angel is talking about. And he does. Listen, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. I don't know if you can see what's coming out of that Bible, but it's all verses. Can you see that? The Bible says all scripture, even now, is inspired by God, listen, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do right. All of it, every little bit is inspired by God, right? Thank you, Chris. It goes on to say in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming soon. I think it's almost like John was talking to the angel and Jesus like interjects right here. Just as a reminder, as we're writing this whole thing down, coming to conclusion, I'm coming soon. He says, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. Now, two things I find interesting. First, when he says, behold, I'm coming soon, somebody might say, wait a minute. Well, this was written 2,000 years ago. If he's coming in soon, where is he? Well, the first thing I would say is like, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promises, right? Honestly, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, okay? That's number one. But number two, if you look at this Greek word soon, it's taku in Greek, and it can mean quickly, or what I think it means is it can mean suddenly, like as in any moment, at any time. So when he says, I'm coming soon, he's telling believers then all the way till now to be ready anytime suddenly for my appearing like a thief in the night. I want you to be ready now. A lot of times Christians think in their heads and in their hearts, I'm just going to get right with the Lord later. You know what I'm saying? No, beloved Christian, you're missing the whole point. He wants you to be ready at a moment's notice. So we as Christians are to live our lives like ready for his sudden return, waiting with anticipation or looking expectantly for his return, regardless of when. Not that we're, let me just give you the verse in Titus. Titus 2:13 puts it this way. It says, looking or waiting with anticipation for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that we get in our pajamas and we just sit out and I'm ready? No. If you're doing that, you're missing the whole point. The goal is to be ready to go at any time. In other words, I'm going to be working for the Lord all the more. I'm going to be trying to get some stuff in me and some stuff out of me. Does that make sense? Until he comes back. And I'm going to be reminding myself, I'm going to be reminding others to seek and follow the Lord while there's still time. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? And it says, blessed is the one who keeps the words or does the words, some of your translations might say, of this prophecy. Listen, Revelation 1:3 started off by saying, hey, we're going to be blessed just by reading this book. You guys, the Bible says, you were blessed. How? I don't know exactly. But you were blessed just by reading the word. That's what it said at the beginning, if you remember, of our teaching in Revelation. You will be blessed if you read it, right? Just by reading it aloud or whatever. And now at the end of reading it, we're told that we'll be blessed by keeping it, by doing it, by living it. Does that make sense? What scares me too is if a lot of people like it, they like to come and hear a good sermon. Oh, it's interesting. Oh, yeah. But if you go home and do nothing with it, you have completely wasted your life and your time. Don't do that. Listen, I love the verse in James 1:22. And I think this is an excellent scripture picture. What do you notice about the chains that bind this guy? The Bible says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. See, we can hear it all day long and still be bound up in sin. It's when, I don't know how to say this right, when you step out in faith and you trust the Lord, when you obey the Lord, when you do what he says, not just hear. Does that make sense? Am I saying it right? Does that make sense to everybody? That's where this guy is all bound up, right? Because he's merely a hearer of the word and not a doer. You got to let it go. Don't be like this guy. Verse 8 and 9 says, I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. He's saying, I saw it personally, Apostle John. And when I had heard and seen them, he's like, I'm so overwhelmed by all this. This is the Apostle John. He's seen miracles, people raised from the dead. He's like, I fell down on my feet to worship the angel who had been showing this to me. And the angel, of course, said, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your fellow prophets and with all those who keep the words of the scroll. We worship God. Don't worship your pastor. Don't worship your church. Don't worship your denomination. Don't worship your husband, wife, brother, whatever, whoever that spiritual leader is. You know who you worship? That's it. He goes on to say in Revelation 22:10, do not seal up the words of this prophecy of the scroll because the time is near. And I don't know if you were here, some of you were here in our Daniel study. We went all through the book of Daniel. I think it's only on audio, unfortunately. But if you remember our Daniel study, God told Daniel at the end of the book of Daniel, in 12 verses 4 to 9, to seal it till the end. Now God's saying in Revelation, I want you to read the whole thing because it's near. And then he says something weird in Revelation 22:11 that almost puts us at a crossroads. Look, you've gone through the whole book of Revelation, right? You've seen incredible blessing and comfort. You've seen incredible judgment coming. So it's almost like you're at a crossroads, right? It's like, do I go God's way for the blessings that he promises, or do I go my own way? Right? The wicked way, the selfish way. And he says this, he says, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong, and let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy. Now, if you read that, it almost sounds like God's encouraging them, just go on in your sin, no big deal. But if you've been here for Revelation, you understand he's constantly, even when the judgments were coming out, pleading people to repent. Come back to me. Come back, he says. So if I were to paraphrase this verse, I would paraphrase it like this. And again, with the crossroads in mind. You wrongdoers, go ahead and keep doing wrong. Just see what happens. All you unclean sinners, keep rolling in the mud. Just ignore God's offer of cleansing. You've seen what's in store for you. As for you righteous and holy saints, keep practicing righteousness. Keep being holy. And you'll get your reward in due time. In other words, you choose God's way or your own way. Does that make sense? I'm afraid to ask. How long? No. Revelation 12. No, 22, 12 and 13. And we're a little quicker. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what he has done. I want you to remember that. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We already talked about that last week. But he says, I'm coming soon, that same word, and any time. He says, my reward is with me, and I will give each person according to what he has done. Listen, can I tell you something? A lot of people have served a lot. You know, and are serving a lot. Either you served in the past, or you're serving now, or you're going to be serving. And I want you to know that even if you don't get thanked, even if you're serving here, hopefully we're thanking you. I remember Josh and Amanda before they had 100 kids, you know, so faithfully serving in the children's ministry. I mean, it's in children's ministry. Well, they did that too. But also, you know, in the youth ministry, you know, thank you for that. You know, I see people serving right now. Thank you for serving right now in the children's ministry. There's so many areas of thankfulness, that, and hopefully we try to do that. But I don't think you guys can be thanked enough. And so, a lot of times, people just do stuff. You don't, might not know, Chris just will sometimes pressure wash the church just because he's trying to be a blessing. Can I pressure wash the church? Yep, go ahead. It'd be wonderful. Just does it. People are doing that all the time. Listen, George is working on all this stuff for new tech, and Don's working on, anyway, you guys, Melody, there's so many people. Listen, but can I tell you what? Even if you never get thanked by me or Pastor Gary or anybody else, the Lord sees it. I want you to know anything, hear me, guys, if you zoned out or you're thinking about Cracker Barrel, come back to me. I'm ministering to my husband, to my wife, and he never thanks me. My kids never thank me. And that might even be true. But you know what? If you're ministering Jesus from a pure heart, he sees every single time you do something. And he knows it. Everything online. Nobody sees that, Pastor, what I do online. The Lord sees it. Listen, God is not unjust, my friends. This is one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of favorite verses, I guess. But Hebrews 6:10, guys, says this. I want you to hear it. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. It says he will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped or served his people and continue to help and serve them. That should give you great encouragement. You don't forget that. God doesn't. Does that make sense? Revelation 22, 14 to 15 says, blessed are those who wash their robes, in other words, in the blood of Christ. What they may have, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. And then it says, outside that city, gates and the city walls, outside are the dogs. We think, oh, dogs, little puppies. We've got four, right? We have four. Sometimes it seems like we have 100. Anyway, sorry, that was an inner thought probably. But outside are the dogs. Back in those, they would see the dogs not as a cute little puppy, as a pet. They would have seen them as scavenger dogs, you know, who would just as soon, I hate to say it, be graphic, kind of eat your kid if it was left alone, like dingoes or something, you know. And outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, I talked about that last week or the week before, sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who practices falsehood, lies and falsehood. Now, I do have to tell you, she's holding the key, and I have to tell you to those, There is a little bit of controversy here, and I don't even want to mention it, but I'm going to mention it anyway, because there's a neat point anyway. Now, there's a bit of controversy in verse 14, because it says, does it say, some of your translations will say, they washed their robes, blessed are those who have washed their robes, meaning, in the blood of Jesus Christ. It talks about being properly dressed for the banquet or will be kept, you know, tossed out. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You're clothed with the garments of salvation. Does that make sense? And that's why we would be able to get into heaven, because we're clothed with Christ. Some of your translations will say, blessed are those who do his commandments. Well, that's also true, just to be honest with you. The Bible says, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he's going to obey my commands. If you read Matthew 25, you know, it talks about those on, some of them did what God told them to do, someone didn't. Jesus said, hey, the one who doesn't, hears my words and doesn't put them into practice or doesn't do them is like a foolish man, right? He's like a foolish man who built his house in the sand and it's all going to collapse. So which is it? Well, both could be 100% true. Both are true. But the spelling, right? Wash their robes is this. Do his commandments is this. They're almost identical, maybe a letter. But the neat thing about God and in his sovereignty, somehow, even though there's only like a letter or so difference in those phrases, right? Which one is it? They're both completely true. Isn't that cool? It goes on to say, in Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. So Jesus is saying, I'm testifying to the truth of everything you find in Revelation. The root and the offspring of David was a messianic title. And as an offspring of David, it qualifies him as an heir to the Davidic throne. You can read about that yourself. We don't have time to go over it. In Isaiah 11:10, Matthew 1:1, in the genealogy of Jesus, and Romans 1:3-4. And that bright morning star is another messianic title from the Old Testament, Numbers 24:17. You can read it later for yourself. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let anyone who hears, here, online, whatever, let them come to me. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. It's free. It's abundant. It's life-giving. It's life-changing. It's life-renewing. You get the idea. Listen. All of this is a free gift to you, to anyone who would receive it. You just have to desire it. Do you desire that living water? Are you feeling a little dry? Could you use a little refreshment? Ask the Lord to pour out his Holy Spirit. We're leaky vessels, to pour out that living water in us so that we can be poured out through others through us. It's supposed to be bubbling up. This world and other people. You know people who have damaged me the most? I hate to say it. Other Christians. Ah! It doesn't stop me from doing what God has asked me to do, but the bottom line is we can't let that stop us. That's just the enemy using other folks. And then it closes us out in Revelation 22:18-19. Thank you, Chris. These last couple slides. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of the book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this prophecy, God will take away, listen to this, his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So we never add to God's word or take away. It reminds me of that Proverbs in Proverbs 35:6 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. And then my last slide, I couldn't decide which one to use. If it was this one, he's coming soon. Or if it was this one, I think I'm just going to go with this. But it says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And we're left with that coming soon. So I would encourage you and I to have an expectation of his coming at every time. Listen, and at all times, be ready. Be ready now. Be ready when you go out an hour from now. Be ready when you get in the flat tire on the way home or the fight you get in. You know what? Remember, I am his kid. Remember when God is trying to get you to serve, to do it and to trust that he's not unjust. He's not forgetting what you've done for him. Every time you help, every time you serve, Robert. Does that make sense? God sees it. God sees you, Lynn. I know you did this wall for us. It's not forgotten. And if I don't forget it, I'm telling you what, I can't forget. God won't. God remembers every single good thing you've done. Well, nobody knows what I tithe. God knows what you tithe. Nobody knows that I help everybody out after church. God knows. And he's thankful for you. Does that make sense? Well, let's pray, and I want us to remember this. Jesus is saying, right now, I want you to come to me to have life. I want you to come to me. I'm the river. I'm the fount of eternal life. He says, Lord, you're telling us right now that you don't want us to be dry cisterns. You don't want us to be cracked and broken and dig for ourselves a religious attitude that doesn't really bring life to people. Lord, you bring life to people. So we ask that you would flow into us, Lord God, and that we would allow you to kill that flesh, Lord, in us and flow out of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. So people will see you through us and that will splash over on other people. And I feel like a failure, and maybe some of my brothers and sisters do too sometimes, but I know you're bigger than that, God. So we ask in Jesus' name, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, with that living water, Lord. Pour into us, Lord, that we may pour out of how we see people and hear people and speak to people and what we do or don't do and in every area of our life, Lord God, and help us to have an excited anticipation for you coming back, Lord God. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, before we close out, I want to share one last thing with you. I was with the youth, right, on Wednesday, and we were asking questions to them. And they were all answering amazingly well. And one of the questions was, name a book in the Bible that has brought you an unbelievable amount of comfort. And somebody kind of joked around because, you know, we've been going through a lot of the judgments, right? You got the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the, you know, bowl judgments. And he's like, somebody kind of joked around, well, I don't know if that would be Revelation. I laughed too. And then actually, the student said, you know, about 13. He said, you know what? He says, actually, I'll tell you what. It is Revelation. And he's like, I've never read it before. And now that we've gone through the Revelation, it has brought me an amazing amount of comfort, an amazing amount of security. He's like, now if I'm an unbeliever, let me tell you, it did not do that for me. But for you and I and everyone who have put their faith and trust in the Lord, he said, it has brought an amazing amount of comfort like none other. And I pray and hope that God was able to comfort you even through all that, through his wonderful word. Amen. Amen. Thank him today. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.